Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, February 20, 2024.
Joel. Testing, testing. Sounds a little loud, doesn't it? Testing, testing, testing. Sound a little loud? Okay, now? We're good to go? All right, we have a couple of announcements, and I know a lot of you are interested. You've been praying for today. Randy went in for surgery. This is for all of you. I know you all have been praying for Randy's pancreatic surgery, which was today. Randy's surgeon determined today that the tumor is inoperable, and now Randy and Dodie are considering what options are available. And I know I encourage you all to pray that God will lead Randy and Dodie in His matchless grace, His matchless grace plan for them and their upcoming decisions. However, on the bright side, Gary Brown will not have to lead singing for the foreseeable future. Dodie said there is a silver lining. When I told that to Gary, he was hallelujahing, and we don't know how long Randy will continue leading. He's going to probably be leading singing this Sunday, and as long as he feels up to it, he's going to keep coming up and leading the singing. We have been truly blessed in this church through the singing ministry of Randy and Dodie. So that was the first thing. And the second thing, as you can see, somebody's having a birthday. You know her as Corina. She's affectionately known as Cornelia. And today is Corina's birthday. Happy birthday to Corina. Now, her hubby is having a birthday Friday, but we're going to have something really special for him on Sunday when he shows up. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, do not reward evil as good. Axios and certain other media outlets have recently reported that the State Department is considering recognizing Palestine as a state. There are a host of reasons why that is a bad idea. And one of the worst is this. It rewards terrorism. It rewards the very worst in human behavior. The idea is that the United States would make this move soon after Israel's campaign in Gaza ends, and U.S. pressure to end the campaign is already enormous. Hamas would then be able to say to every terror group in the world, here's how you get the really big concessions. You kill, you mutilate, you rape, you burn people to death, and take lots of innocents as hostages. To recognize the state of Palestine in the aftermath of their September terror attacks on Israel would encourage every rogue group on earth to follow that wicked path. It would bring chaos to this planet, the likes of which have never been seen before. For decades, the United States has called for a two-state solution in the Holy Land. But the U.S. has said such a solution must be predicated on negotiation among the people who live there, and that it cannot be imposed from the outside. But the present administration seems to be considering a radical change in that policy. How radical? The Biden administration is reportedly considering imposing a new state of Palestine in the Middle East where terms and borders have not been negotiated, much less implemented. The plan is to go in the opposite direction from previous U.S. policy and impose this peace plan from the outside, from far off Washington. However, the Palestinian goal has not changed from the PLO's beginning. They want the complete annihilation of the state of Israel and the genocide of all Jews around the world. They have tried to do it by sheer force. But even with the help of invading Arab armies, they have failed every time. They have now made it clear that they are willing to accomplish their goal in stages. A key stage in that campaign is the recognition of Palestine as a state by the United Nations. One of the most evil, the modern day Tower of Babel, one of the most evil organizations in the world, the United Nations. In 2012, they were accepted by the UN as an observer state. But the U.S. has blocked the UN from giving full recognition to Palestine. 139 of the United Nations' 193 member states have already given full recognition to Palestine, a nation that has never existed in all of world history. Now, some things are known by everyone in the world, known by instinct, known by intuition, known by experience. One is that if you reward a behavior, you will get more of it. We all know that's true. That's why we reward puppies with treats. That's why we give children words of praise when they do right. Real life proves this idea again and again. The ones who still think it's a good idea to positively reward evil behavior mostly live in the ivory towers of academia and government. In the real world, we know that if you don't want people to break the law, don't reward law breaking. If you don't want drug addiction, don't reward drug use. If you don't want people to cross your borders illegally, don't reward attempts at illegal immigration. If you don't want kidnapping, don't reward kidnappers. And most of all, if you don't want terrorism, don't reward terrorist acts. And that's what we are in the process of doing. Well, we are in the book of Joel. And we are in a great paragraph in Joel, Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 27. And in this paragraph, we have a foretaste of the millennial kingdom. When the Lord Jesus comes back at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, a 1,000 years of perfect environment, a 1,000 years of prosperity, of 1,000 years of health, 1,000 years of world peace, no war, a 1,000 years of righteousness and justice because the Lord Jesus Christ will be ruling planet Earth for that 1,000 year millennium. And the foretaste of that is Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 27. In Joel 2:21, we see that the land is happy. In Joel 2:22, we see the animals are happy. In Joel 2:23a, we see the people are happy. In Joel 2:23b and 24, we see that there is great economic prosperity. Then, in Joel 2:25 to 27, the living and true God answers the reversionists and cynics of the nations of the world. Joel 2:17, O Lord, look upon your people with compassion, and do not make your inheritance to become an object of reproach, to become a byword among the nations. Why should they keep on saying among the peoples, the nations, where is their God? Where is Israel's God? Verse 25, the first half says, And I, the Lord, will make compensation, repay, I will restore prosperity in its widest sense. And the principle is repentance is followed by restoration of blessings. And the word to repent in the Bible, in the Hebrew, it's the word shuv. In the Greek, it's metanoeo. It literally means to change your thinking. That's what repentance is. You change your thinking. And when you change your thinking from negative volition to positive volition, there is restoration of blessings. When you change your thinking from arrogance to humility, and humility is the antithesis of arrogance. And what is humility? Respect for authority. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. If you don't have that, you don't have humility. And if you don't have humility, you are arrogant. You're not living the spiritual life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. When you change from arrogance to humility, there is restoration of blessing. When you rebound and change from rejection of God and the Word of God to responding to God and the Word of God, there is restoration of blessing. So verse 25, And I, the Lord, will make compensation, repay, restore prosperity in its widest sense, restore for your benefit for all those years that the swarming locust is eaten, the lick-up locust, the finish-off locust, the gnawing locust, and my great army which I intensively sent among you all. And then we have exegeted the first part of verse 26. You will have plenty to eat, and you will have inner satisfaction. The Hebrew verb there is savah. And sava means to be satisfied. It means to have one's fill of something, to have in excess and abundance. It especially means to have one's desires satisfied. You'll have plenty to eat and will have inner satisfaction. God shows himself to be gracious and merciful and loving to a repentant people. In his infinite and matchless grace, he has restored blessing and prosperity to the nation Israel. They have an overabundance of food. This not only means that hunger is totally eliminated, there is no hunger in the millennial kingdom, but also there is phenomenal economic prosperity. The repentant remnant will see God open his hand and give them great and wonderful grace blessings. God will satisfy the desires of their heart. And a key passage that teaches this is Psalm 37. So we ended with that last time. Let's start with Psalm 37 tonight. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. There are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. And as you learn the Word of God, you learn it and believe it. You might even have a promise notebook. Do you have 7,000 promises in your notebook? Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. In Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, we have the condition that must be fulfilled before God will satisfy the desires of your heart. There is a condition. And the condition is that you must delight yourself in the Lord. Now, delighting yourself in the Lord, what is that? Well, that's fulfilling the greatest commandment. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us what the greatest commandment is. Turn over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Well, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Now the Lord Jesus Christ answers him. "The most important one, the most important commandment," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is unique. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That is the greatest commandment." That's for all of you. Every one of you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Together here we have virtue love. Love your neighbor as yourself is impersonal love for all. And on our Thursday night class, we're seeing that has phenomenal, visible impact in the world when you have impersonal love for all. So, the condition is that you must delight yourself in the Lord your God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is occupation with Christ. This is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, God does not promise to give you the desires of your heart if you do not delight yourself in the Lord, if there is no occupation with Jesus Christ. In the millennial kingdom, there will be many, many believers who have occupation with Jesus Christ. These are the ones who consistently and faithfully learn and believe the absolute truth of God's Word. And they get a maximum amount of the God-breathed Scriptures in their heart. The believer who delights himself in the Lord has grown up in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. And therefore, His desires are grace desires. His desires are doctrinal desires. They are desires related to the plan, will, and purpose of God for his life. The Lord keeps on satisfying the desires of every believer who attains occupation with Jesus Christ. The believer who attains spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ has great inner satisfaction. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Now, what about the believer who does not grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? What about the believer who does not attain occupation with Christ? That believer also has desires. What about the believer who is living his life in the cosmic system? Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. The believer who is not occupied with Christ also has desires, but they frequently originate from the sin nature with all of its lust patterns. Ephesians 2:1-3. God does not promise to give that believer the desires of his heart. Psalm 140:6-8. The reversionistic believer has desires, but his desires are not satisfied. Proverbs 13:4. Reversionists desire what other reversionists have acquired. Proverbs 12:12. And the reversionist desires evil things. Proverbs 21:10. The reversionist desires wealth and possessions, and when he acquires them, he has no capacity to enjoy them. Ecclesiastes 6:1-2. The eyes of the reversionist are never satisfied. Proverbs 27:20. So again, Joel 2:26 so far. You will have plenty to eat and you will have inner satisfaction. And then it goes on, and praise the name of the Lord your God. This is the conjunction vav prefixed to the PL perfect of the verb halal plus the direct object marker F joined by a makef to the noun shame plus the tetragrammaton followed by Elohim with the second person plural suffix. The conjunction vav is a vav conversive. It converts the perfect into an imperfect. The verb is halal, and halal is the Hebrew verb to praise. We have, as I mentioned last time, the word hallelujah. Hallelujah is halal to Yah, praise to Yah. Yah is Jesus Christ. The PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. Therefore, this is intensive praise and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The direct object marker F introduces the one to whom this intensive praise and worship is to be directed, and that is shame plus the tetragrammaton. Shame is literally it means name, but the name of God refers to the essence of God. It refers to who and what God is. It refers to the attributes of God. And then the tetragrammaton, which is the holiest name of God in the Old Testament, often translated Jehovah. It means the Lord. And then we have Elohim, and Elohim with the second person plural suffix, your God. So you will have plenty to eat, you will have inner satisfaction, and you will praise the name, the essence of the Lord your God, who and what he is. All right, a couple of things. One, the verb halal, which means to praise and to worship, is the overt manifestation of an inner mental attitude in your soul. Halal, which is the verb to praise and to worship, is the overt manifestation of an inner mental attitude in your soul. Two, reverence and honor for the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, manifests itself in praise and worship. Reverence and honor for the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, manifests itself in praise and worship. Three, Praise is the celebration of the soul. The celebration of the soul. Four, the believer who has attained occupation with Jesus Christ has a constant celebration going on in his soul. The believer who attains occupation with Jesus Christ has a constant celebration going on in his soul. No matter what's going on in his life, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, he has a constant celebration going on in his soul. No matter if he is in adversity or in prosperity, no matter if he's totally healthy or going through illness and different categories of health problems. The believer who has attained occupation with Christ has a constant celebration going on in his soul. Five, this soul celebration manifests itself overtly in rejoicing from happiness, great inner happiness. Singing, worship in every category, especially worship in increased perception and metabolization of the Word of God. When you have this soul celebration, it manifests itself overtly in rejoicing, in happiness, in singing, in worship, in every category, and especially in increased perception and metabolization of the Word of God. You know, when I was at Washington State University, and God guided me to WSU, Washington State University, and I thought I was going to WSU to run track. I thought I had a full scholarship in track to be the hurdler on the WSU track team, and I thought I was going there to run track. Well, I did. I was competing on the track team, but that's not why God guided me to Washington State University. He was guiding me there because there was a phenomenal Bible teacher there in the local church there that taught the grace and the truth of the Word of God. I didn't realize that. And there was a fellow with Campus Crusade for Christ, Earl Dannon. He was blind as a bat. His glasses were about, looked like binoculars. They were so thick. And I don't know how he got my name or found my room in Stevenson. I don't know how that came about, but I get this knock on my door and I open it. And here's this guy with these binoculars on for glasses. He goes, "Hi, Dick Olson?" I go, "Yes." "I'm Earl Dannon, Campus Crusade for Christ. Mind if I come in and share with you what I've been learning from the Lord and the Bible?" I've never had anybody ever knock on my door and ask someone. I say, "Oh, okay, come on in." He sits down. "Let me share with you what I've been learning in the Lord and the Word of God." And he takes it and then he goes... And he says, "You know, there's a great local church here. The pastor tells it like it is. You want to go with me to church this Sunday?" I said, "Earl," I said, "I'm on the track team. I got a full load in my academics." I said, "I haven't got time." He said, "Okay, I'll check with you again." And I thought, well, this guy's blind. What's the chance he's going to find my room again? Well, if he found it the first time, and he kept coming back and coming back. Finally, "Do you want to go with me to church?" "Sure. I'll go this Sunday." I thought, if I go, then he'll... And I went, and I sat in the very last row. And Pastor Breckel started out. And he started teaching by putting up top circle, bottom circle. And he taught rebound. He taught how you get back into fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nobody had ever told me that before. I had been a believer, and I had been out of fellowship for years. And I bowed my head and acknowledged my sins to God and was forgiven and cleansed and restored to fellowship with God for the first time in years. And when I went back to Stevenson South, my feet didn't even touch the ground. I just floated all the way back. And I told Earl, I said, "You don't have to worry. You don't have to ask me." That was phenomenal. That was great. I'll go back. You don't have to come and get me. I'll be there. Well, I started going on Sundays, like some people around here show up on Sunday only, or Christmas and Easter, a couple of times a year. You know, that's... And then they think if you go every day, you must be a cult. Well, let me tell you something. That means Jesus Christ had a cult in the garden, because He had Bible class every day in the cool of the evening, 7 days a week. Jesus Christ had Bible class with Adam, and you know there's Eve, Adam and Esau, 7 days a week, because the Word of God was more important than anything else in life. So if we have classes five times, if that, some of you think, well, that you must be a cult at Upland Bible. Well, that means Jesus Christ had a cult in the garden with Adam and the woman. He had class 7 days a week, every day in the cool of the evening. And you see, it's nice and cool out there right now. This is a great time. We are in the cool of the evening tonight. Well, I went back, and I was going just on Sunday, and I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and the four spiritual laws, I can't tell you how many four spiritual laws I handed out all over Washington State University. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of the four spiritual laws. And I'd give the gospel to them, and then they would ask me a question, and I didn't know the answer. So I go to see Pastor Breckel. I go, "Ron, Pastor Breckel, I was given the gospel to this guy, and I said this, and he said that, and I said this, and he said that, and I didn't know how to answer him." And Ron was so great, he took his Bible. He always had a small pocket Bible, and took it out. He says, "Here, read this, Dick." Oh, yeah. Well, then a few days later, same thing happened. I go, "Ron, I was given the gospel to this guy, and I said this, and he said that, and I didn't know how to answer." He says, "Here, read this." Oh. I did this about, 10, 15, 20 times, and Ron just, "Here." And then he says, "Dick, can't you see what God's trying to tell you?" I said, "Well, I am Norwegian. That's kind of holding me back a little bit. What's he trying to tell me?" "You need Bible doctrine. That's what he's telling you. You need Bible doctrine." He said, "All these questions that you have, I've been teaching all of these things. I've been teaching all these things." And he's telling you, if you get in class and learn them, you would know the answer to all these things. And I said, "Ron, you are exactly right. You are 100% right. That's exactly what God is telling me. I need Bible doctrine." You know what? I shifted gears right there. I didn't show up on Sunday only or once a week. I was there every time the Bible was taught. I was there. And growing up and growing up and growing up and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's when I realized That's why God guided me to Washington State University, so that I could grow up in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because God had a phenomenal Bible teacher right there on campus. Bethany Bible Church, Pastor Ron Breckel, pastor who graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. And then I realized he didn't take me to WSU to run hurdles. He brought me to WSU to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And as I did that, in my heart, there was a celebration. There's no place I wanted to be more than in Bethany Bible Church, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a celebration going on in my soul from the Word of God, the absolute truth of the Word of God, from developing occupation with Jesus Christ, a celebration. I wanted to be there more than any place else. There was no place I wanted to be more than right there in Bethany Bible Church, growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every time I had a soul celebration while I was there worshiping the Lord, I had a soul celebration that went with me everywhere I went. It was fantastic. So this soul celebration manifests itself overtly in rejoicing from happiness and singing and worship in every category, especially in increased perception and metabolization of the Word of God. 6, as you learn about God's name, remember that word, shame, name, refers to the essence of God, the attributes of God. As you learn about His essence, His attributes, that He is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity, as you learn about the essence of God, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will attain spiritual maturity. You will attain occupation with Jesus Christ. So as you learn about God's name, His essence, His attributes, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will attain spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ. 7, therefore, you will praise His name in worship, His essence, who and what He is, His attributes. Therefore, you will praise His name in worship. 8, in the millennial kingdom, there will be great praise and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ because of who and what He is. In the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent and establishes His kingdom on earth, there will be great praise and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ because of who and what He is. So the corrected translation says, you will have plenty to eat, and you will have inner satisfaction, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. 1. Inner satisfaction manifests itself in outward praise. Inner satisfaction manifests itself in outward praise. Two, occupation with Christ manifests itself in praise and worship directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ manifests itself in praise and worship directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. 3, the winner believer is constantly praising and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ because of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and true God is. The winner believer is constantly praising and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ because of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and true God, is. Four, they have witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ graciously deliver them from destruction at the hands of the Antichrist in the tribulation. Jesus Christ came back at the second advent. He will come back at the second advent. He will deliver the remnant of believers from the Antichrist and all of the armies assembled from the King of the North, which is Russia today, Kings of the East, Communist China, the Pan-Arabic Bloc, King of the South, the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist, and they will be delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ from all of these enemies who have assembled to destroy Israel from the face of the earth. That's called, and you've heard this word, Armageddon. Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. So they have witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ graciously deliver them from destruction at the hands of the Antichrist in the tribulation. Five, the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ worked in a miraculous way in bringing restoration to both Israel and the land. The grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ worked in a miraculous way in bringing restoration to both Israel and the land. So we have, so far, you will have plenty to eat, and you will have inner satisfaction. God will give you the desires of your heart, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. And then we have, who hath dealt wondrously with you. We have the relative pronoun asher, joined by a makef to the cal perfect of the verb asah, plus the preposition im with the second person plural masculine suffix, plus the hifil infinitive construct of the verb pala. First of all, the relative pronoun asher. Aleph, A-S-H-E-R, asher. The relative pronoun asher is correctly translated who, and it refers to the Lord your God. And it's joined by a makef to the verb asa. I-N-A-S-A-H, asa. And this verb asa means to manufacture something out of something. And the principle is God manufactures wonders and miracles out of His perfect essence. God manufactures wonders and miracles out of His perfect essence. And then the verb pala. I love it. And after the Christmas classes we had, you ought to be right in tune with this. P-A-L-A, Aleph, pala. We didn't have this verb in our Christmas classes, but we did have the noun that comes from it. So a couple of things about this verb. One, pala means to be surpassing, to be extraordinary, to be surpassing, to be extraordinary. That's the verb pala. Two, pala means to be beyond human ability and power to do. To be beyond human ability and power to do. Three, pala means extraordinary, wonderful, miraculous, extraordinary, wonderful, miraculous acts of the Lord your God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. It means to cause wonders and miracles to happen. Four, from this verb we have the noun that you are familiar with, Pele. And I have to always tell you, God is not in, he doesn't even care for soccer. P-L-E, Olive, Pele. In case you didn't know, he was a great soccer player, Pele. So from this verb, we have the noun Pele, which is used to describe the celebrityship of our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. All right, well, let's turn over to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. You go, oh, yeah, I know how I know that. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Isaiah 9, verse 6, start there. For unto us a child is born. This is the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know is that very first Christmas when the eternal Son of God left heaven and through the incarnation and virgin birth took on true humanity. Why? He was born to die. He was born to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, the eternal Son of God. The second person of the Trinity is the eternal Son of God. This is the procession of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas from heaven to earth. So together we have the hypostatic union of the God-man, Jesus Christ, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. For unto us a child is born, the true humanity of Jesus Christ, and unto us a son is given, the deity of Jesus Christ. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Pele Yoetz in the Hebrew, Wonder Counselor, Pele Yoetz, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, world peace in the millennium, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, will accomplish this. So from this verb, Pala, we have the noun Pele, which is used to describe the celebrityship of our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And then we have the preposition im with the second person plural masculine suffix with you all, who, the Lord your God, Jesus Christ, manufactures wonders, miracles with you all. Who, the Lord your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, manufactures wonders, miracles with you all. One, Joel reminds the people of Judah that the Lord your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has manifested his wondrous grace and power to them. Joel reminds the people of Judah that the Lord your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has manifested his wonderful grace and power to them. 2, this phrase sees its ultimate fulfillment in the miraculous events of the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. This phrase has its ultimate fulfillment in the miraculous events of the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. 3, the Lord Jesus Christ will miraculously deliver Israel from the Antichrist and from worldwide anti-Semitism fomented by Satan himself. And we see worldwide anti-Semitism as we speak in the world right now. And where does that come from? The ruler of this world, Satan himself. The Lord Jesus Christ will miraculously deliver Israel from the Antichrist and worldwide anti-Semitism fomented by Satan himself. 4, the Lord Jesus Christ will miraculously restore Israel as his client nation. The Lord Jesus Christ will miraculously restore Israel as his client nation. 5, he will miraculously bless the land and the animals and the people in the millennial kingdom. He will miraculously bless the land and the animals and the people in the millennial kingdom. Now there are several awesome passages. 5 of them I want to go through, and then we'll close tonight. But I want to go through these. First of all, let's turn back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 14. God said to Moses, now you might have in your I am who I am. You know what this literally says? I am the eternally existing one. I am the eternally existing one. So God said to Moses, I am the eternally existing one. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am the eternally existing one has sent me to you. Miraculous. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. I am the eternally existing one. Now turn over to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who among the gods, and these are all of the false gods of religion, they're all over the world, false gods of religion. Who among these false gods of religion, who is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, in integrity, virtue, honor, awesome in glory, working wonders? Working wonders, working miracles. Now turn over to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 10. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Turn over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And then turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, starting at verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy, based on virtue, integrity, righteousness, and justice. What God, what false God in all the religions of the world is so great as our God? If you are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples and the nations. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. So far, verse 26 says, you will have plenty to eat in the millennial kingdom. You will have inner satisfaction, the desires of your heart, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who manufactures wonders and miracles among you all. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.